What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm Kyle French. Today is May 6th. We're breaking down big name albums Daytona by Pusha T and Testing by ASAP Rocky. We're going to follow up on the Pusha T and Drake beef, see the fallout of it, and if there's any more diss tracks coming. I won't be breaking down the diss tracks that have dropped. We did that last episode. If you want to hear that, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and WHUS.org/talk. And in addition, today we have our staple song of the week. We got a new one from Mac Miller. We actually got a couple from Mac, but we'll talk about which one I thought was the best. And we'll run through what we can expect to see releasing in the next couple weeks. If you like the show, you can also check me out on Instagram at HipHopEnth, HipHopEnth, for more content. I actually started a series with a fellow enthusiast of the rap game. We'll be going live on Instagram every Friday afternoon slash night to listen to a new album that is brand new, just dropped, give our initial thoughts on it, and just kind of mess around, talk about shit going on in hip-hop. So it's a lot of fun. You can go check that out too. But as for now, we got to get into these huge name albums. We've had a little bit of a lackluster May as far as big names go. But we got Pusha T, the start of Yeezy season, and the long-awaited Testing by ASAP Rocky. So let's get into Daytona first. Daytona by Pusha T initially was supposed to be called King Push. He's been talking about it for years, saying it's going to be the greatest album of all time, hyping it up left and right, saying I've given you great work, but this is going to be elite. This is going to put me in the GOAT conversation. I mean, so much hype around this album. Ended up naming it Daytona just because he thought the name fit the album better. For those who don't know, Pusha T is now 41 years of age, a certified OG, originally from Virginia Beach, a hip-hop purist, lyrical savant, all about the bars and integrity of the real rap era. That's what he's riding for. He started off as a duo named Clips in the 2000s, actually working alongside his brother Malice. In the late 2000s, they kind of split up after, I don't know, maybe like 10 years of working together. And Push hooked up with Good Music via Kanye West. And Push is actually now the president of Good Music. Since Kanye stepped down, he's still obviously a huge figure and leads Good Music. But Push handles the presidential duties. So he's a huge figure in the rap game, despite not really having the big numbers or like the just radio hits that you would expect from like a huge name in the game. But no doubt he is there. And after all the talk, all the hype, I gotta say, Daytona just about lives up to the immaculate album status that Pusha T thought he could hit. I mean, the expectations were huge, and he pretty much hit them. I mean, this is a phenomenal album. It's so worth it. It's dope. It is only 21 minutes. A lot of people are getting on this album and Kanye's album for a short runtime. It's only 21 minutes, but the good news is from the first second of the album, Push is spitting his drug lord kingpin bars that we've come to know him for, and he does not quit. I mean, if this album runtime is 21 minutes and 8 seconds, Pusha T is rapping with impeccable bars for like 20 minutes and 45 seconds of it. So you're not really missing out. There's no filler. There's no wasted bars. So let's get that out of the way first. And then as for like the musical quality on here, I mean, I don't know how Pusha T sounds this sharp, this aggressive, this passionate and hungry at this age. I mean, he's rapping like he still has a lot to prove. And he's just so precise and punctual. And just the bars just attack you. They grab you. He's got a lot of gritty, dirty lyrics painting like vivid images. One of my favorite bars on here was on Hard Piano when he says, "The Warhols on my wall paint a war story." Just an awesome metaphor that kind of describes his life. He came up in the drug game, made his name off that, made his money off that. So now he's walking around his mansion. He's seen all the riches, the paintings on the wall that are so expensive, and it paints a war story because it takes him back to how he got there and the crazy life that he lived to get to that point. And he raps like it's behind him, but it's still part of him. And that's an important distinction. I don't really love when guys rap like they're still in the game, like they'll still go out and do something tomorrow. Like, he knows he's past that. He knows he's a rapper now. He just acts like he still has the values, the integrity, and the mind state of a dude who's still out there hustling, but he knows his hustle is now making rap music. As a listener, you can expect just boastful claims. And what makes Push so great is it's convincing. Like, he acts like he's on top of the world, the king of the game, but you believe it. Like, all these guys are on the rapper shit talking about, I'm the greatest, this and that. Push, you listen to him and you're like, he might be right. Like, he really might be right. Like, I would believe him if he said he was pulling all the strings and he was just the king of everything. Like, he raps from that mindset and he kills it. His delivery and his execution on his subject matter is off the charts. Everyone knows what he's going to rap about. Everyone knows the topics, the storylines, and he still kills it every time. Because at the end of the day, dope music is dope music, and that's what Push does best. And another line that I love from him, because he knows he's filling the void of past mafioso, like, giants, and he raps, "I am your ghost in your ray. This is my purple tape. Save up for rainy days," which is an awesome line. For those who don't know, the purple tape is referring to Raekwon of Wu-Tang Clan's debut album in 1995, Only Built for Cuban Links. Ghostface Killah, of course, was on a majority of those tracks. So he's saying, "I'm the modern day Ghost and Ray. This is my purple tape." And Only Built for Cuban Links is like an iconic album, defined mafioso rap, kicked off a whole wave. And he's like, that album was that big, and I'm like that of this generation. And he also throws us an extra little nugget there by saying, "Save up for rainy days." Rainy Days being one of the tracks on that infamous album by Raekwon and Ghostface Killah. And lines like that prove that although his subject matter and his topics are predictable and they're not like the deepest message-wise or conceptually, there are witty lines like that that make you think. There's a lot of wordplay, lots of well-thought-out jabs and intellectual lines from Push. And what takes this album to a whole nother level is the amazing production by Kanye West. His sample-heavy production perfectly set the tone for Pusha T to rap his bars over, match Pusha's energy left and right. They were just so in sync the whole album. And some of the highlights would be like, "The Games We Play" has some of the hardest guitar plucking I've ever heard. Just like permanent stank face the entire track. And "Come Back Baby" is a banger. You get these samples that just all of a sudden cut out and drop to a simple snare, but somehow it's just such a banger. The way it weaves back and forth and Push just drops in perfectly with the beat. "Santeria," Kanye works in this like dusty Hispanic guitar. It pulls you right into these like El Chapo tight lifestyle lyrics that Push is living. The only beat I really didn't enjoy was maybe "Infrared," which kind of has this like eerie downcast feel and like this distant echoing sample. And Push was really getting aggressive and attacking on that track. That's the one that sparked Drake's response. I just would have expected something a little bit more like up-tempo. And it didn't quite click for me. And "Infrared" was just ended up being one of my least favorite tracks on here. But as a whole, Kanye killed this production. Some of the best instrumentals we've heard in 2018, which makes Daytona one of the best albums we've heard this year. It's just a perfect example of a rapper who is playing to his strengths, does everything well, has the right people working with him and around him, comes together and just puts together a short, snack-sized 21-minute album that is worth the wait and doesn't feel like you're losing out. It doesn't feel like he's skimping you on content at only 7 tracks. So Daytona by Pusha T, best tracks, "The Games We Play," "Come Back Baby," and "Hard Piano." My least favorite tracks would be "Infrared" and maybe "If You Know, You Know." But there's no bad songs on here. That's clear and obvious. I would recommend this to you if you like Raekwon, Jay-Z, or Rick Ross. And as for an overall rating, I'm going with a strong 8 out of 10. And we're going to play what I think are the two best songs on here, "The Games We Play" and "Come Back Baby" from Daytona by Pusha T.
Drug dealer Benzes with gold diggers in them, and elevator condos on everything I love. This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that shit fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the fuck you expect when a nigga got a cape and he's great? Ovens full of cakes that he bakes, steel spread and paste. The love just accentuates the hate. This is for my bodybuilding clients moving weight. Just add water, stir it like a shake. Play amongst the stars like the roof in the Wraith. Get the table next to mine, make our bottle servers race. These are the games we play, we are the names they say. This is the drug money your ex-nigga claim he makes to all of my young niggas. I am your ghost in your raid. This is my purple tape, save up for rainy days and baby mama wishes. Along with the side bitches, they try to coexist, end up wishing you die bitches. Stood on every couch in the A at the black. black party, no jewelry on, but you richer than everybody. You laugh a little louder, the DJ say your name a little prouder, and we don't need a globe to show you the world is ours. We can bet $100,000 with my safe hold. My number's looking like a bank code. These are the games we play. We are the names they say. This is the drug money your ex-nigga claim he make. Ain't no stopping the champagne from popping the draws, from dropping the laws, from watching with yay back chopping. The cars and the women come with options. Caviar facials remove the toxins. This ain't for the conscious. This is for the mud-made monsters who grew up on legends from out of Yonkers, influenced by niggas straight out of Compton. The scale never lies. I'm 2.2 incentivized. If you ain't energized like the bunny for drug money, or been paralyzed by the sight of a drug mummy, this ain't really for ya. This is for the Goya Montoya, who said I couldn't stop then afforded me all the lawyers. The only kingpin who ain't sinking.
I wanna talk to all you addicts out there that's got yourself a great big joint, and you done tried all the methadone, and you just can't leave that heroin alone. I wonder, have
don't
you tried?
Just touch down. I'm so grateful. Number so low, bitch, be thankful. They say don't let money change you. That's how we know money ain't you. Bitch, I been had. Bitches been bad. We buy big boats. Bitch, I'm sin bad. Downright sinful. Bitch, we been full. All my dope boys, we like kinfolk. Be more burn spoon. DC glass pipe. VA scent bells. About that trap life. Blew through thousands. We made millions. Cocaine soldiers. Once civilians. Bought hoes Hondas. Took care of children. Lent my pastor. Built out buildings. Rapped on classics. I've been brilliant, now we blend in, we chameleons. Ah!
Never have I been locked up in a world of misery. I need you, darling, to set me free. Come back, baby, try me one more time. Oh, baby, I'm about to go out of my mind.
Who else got the luxury to drop when he want, cause nobody else could fuck with me? What a show off. Nigga, wrist for wrist, let's have a glow off. Fuck it, brick for brick, let's have a blow off. If we go by connections made, I can still climb ladders when complexions fade. Yeah. White on white, that's the tester. Black on black, that's the Tesla. See these diamonds in this watch face? All that shit came from pressure. They don't miss you till you gone with the wind. And they tired of dancing like a yin-yang twin. You can't have the yin without the yang, my friend. Real niggas bring balance to the game I'm in. Yeah. Can't escape the scale if I tried. Interstate trafficking's alive. Push.
Never have I been locked up in a world of misery.
That was The Games We Play and Come Back Baby by Pusha T. Simply fire, nothing more to be said. But that was not the only album that we've been waiting years to hear. ASAP Rocky dropped Testing, his long-awaited third studio album, the same day as Daytona. We've heard Rocky on the ASAP Mob Cozy Tapes Volume 1 and 2. He's been featured on a lot of the group's work in the past few years, so he hasn't disappeared into a cave. He's not Earl Sweatshirt, who we haven't. I don't even know if the man's still alive at this point. But the point is, Rocky has been in the game. He's been spitting verses. We've heard music from him. But what we've really wanted is that follow-up to At Long Last ASAP, which was his magnum opus, officially established him as like the face of cloud rap, innovating hip-hop music, creating a lane for himself that not many people were in, a lot of abstract approaches. And people have been expecting this new album, Testing, especially based on the title, to be very experimental in nature, boundary pushing, and just like a very important album for hip-hop as a whole. So once again, a long-awaited album, expectations are really high, and Rocky just, he didn't quite come through like Push, that's for sure. I mean, this album isn't going to grab you and be like, oh my god, ASAP Rocky is incredible, one of the greatest of this generation. I didn't feel like he had to reinvent the wheel like some people thought he did on here. But he did kind of hype up the album saying, I'm working on new sounds. Even has lines in the album talking about these new sounds he's creating, this new wave he's making for himself. So he did put a little bit of the pressure on himself. But I did think fans were expecting a little much if they were thinking this was going to be like, I do like to compare Rocky to Kanye West. But it's not really fair to expect that type of consistent quality and that consistent boundary pushing that Kanye gives us. Rocky's in that area, but it was a little bit unfair for people to expect the world from him. That being said, I do think that Rocky dropped the ball a bit on this album. For a guy who usually implores some of the best production in the game and makes some very abstract-sounding instrumentals, I felt a lot of this was underproduced, didn't have a very full sound, or at times it seemed like he was content with one out-of-the-box idea anchoring the entire track, and was like, oh, I did that. That's a little bit different, so now I don't have to do anything else. That's it. That's going to hold up the entire song. And I felt like the opener Distorted Records kind of showed that. Super distorted, bubbling, buzzy bass line. And it's crazy, but then, like, that was kind of it. The production didn't progress any further than that. There were no layers that kept it moving forward. Nothing added. It just kind of felt a little bit stale after a while, and it was like he made one really cool sound and then just kind of quit on the rest of the record. And that's not to say it isn't a good song. He actually had a swaggy flow on that and had some pretty dope like flex bars on there, but that's just something I noticed about it, and I felt that on multiple other tracks. And then as a weird like counter to that, there were other times where I felt like he was just throwing sounds in randomly, especially the vocal effects. I mean, you would get that like chopped and screwed Houston sound that Rocky loves to work with and usually sounds great, but it'd be like that, and then all of a sudden you have these distant vocals, then you have this echo effect, then things are pitch shifted, then they're like super clear, and none of it felt like it had much of a purpose. To an extent, it kind of felt like Rocky wanted to make something really out of the box, and instead of gradually coming to that process, he was just like, okay, throw that there, put that there, and boom, it's different. Like, I did my job. I'm done, right? And it wasn't enough. It wasn't the sleekness and clean, really full beats that you expect from ASAP Rocky. Now, with these criticisms, Testing still does have its high points, and Rocky still is a talented rapper, so it's not going to flop, like, completely, no doubt, because, like, he comes through at its heights, he has these bangers, his flow and his voice are God-given, and it does produce some really fun, upbeat, up-tempo tracks. You get Tony Tone and Praise the Lord, which apparently him and Skepta produced or like created all of Praise the Lord while on a crazy acid trip. And I'm starting to think they should have done that for the whole album, because Praise the Lord is maybe my favorite song on Testing. It goes hard. The beat's crazy. The hook is catchy. So there are those standouts. And there are some like rare, unfortunately rare, artistic moments where Rocky does his signature move of like stealing you out of wherever you are and bringing you into this like cloudy atmospheric zone that he's in. I really felt like Call Drops did this the best. It had this really trippy like beachside feel to it. You got this verse from Kodak Black like phoned in from jail, which I thought was awesome. Just a great concept for a song and just a really cool track that Rocky put together. And that was one of the only songs where I really felt like I was taken into the music with him. You also get Brother Man and Changes. Both progress nicely. Some beat changes. A few different voices that Rocky works in and out really nicely. And the track Changes actually has one of the most down-to-earth verses that we've heard from Rocky. And on here, he was really kind of just flexing really simple, basic lines, and I felt like he was really influenced by fellow mob members who are less talented than him, especially lyrically. And also, since the addition of Playboi Carti, I feel like he's been influenced by him, and they're kind of weighing him down and influencing him in the wrong direction as an MC. Not to say you can't be a great artist with what they're doing, but his lyricism was definitely the lowest I've heard it, and his subject matter is also kind of trending down. So it was nice to hear on this track Changes that he has a really more honest, real rap verse on the album, because that didn't seem to be the case all that much. And the album just has more throwaway material than we should have, especially after waiting this long. This album should be perfected. It should have no filler. It should be very well thought out and progress nicely. And that just doesn't happen. The song Guns and Butter, I thought, was pretty much throwaway material. Black Tux, White Collar was a snooze fest. Kids turned out fine, just about the same thing. So overall, this just led to a very up and down, very hit or miss project. And I hate to say it, but I just don't know if I can really enjoy this album here testing cover to cover and not feel like there's low points or not feel like there's tracks I'm just not really invested into. Definitely has his highlights, but a little bit sloppy, I can't lie. And if we're being real, Frank Ocean on Purity might have had the best verse on the whole album. And I mean, Rocky, at the stage you're at, you can't have the best verse on your album be by an R&B singing dude. Like, you just can't be out-rapped by an R&B cat. It can't happen. Simple rules, just the laws of the game. Can't let it happen, especially when you hyped it up and said it was going to be this phenomenal album. So for testing by A$AP Rocky, best tracks, Brother Man, Praise the Lord, Call Drops, Tony Tone. My least favorite tracks, Guns and Butter, Black Tux, White Collar, and Kids Turned Out Fine. I would recommend this album if you like Travis Scott, Playboi Carti, or Kanye West. That's really just a mess of artists right there, but combine all three, and that's a little bit of the feel you get here. Overall rating, it's not bad. It's not bad, but I'm only going to give it like a mid 6 out of 10 on here, which is below Rocky standards, and it's easily his worst album, worst project I've heard from him. Hopefully he can make a comeback. Hopefully this isn't the end of things. I don't want to see him disappear into the fashion industry because I know he still has creative talent and ability in him. And it is evident at times on here, but we just needed, for this long of a wait, a cleaner, more consistent project, and it just didn't happen. So I'll play two tracks, two that I think kind of hit the hardest. Praise the Lord, the Acid Trip Bar Fest with Skepta, and then I also play Tony Tone, a couple tracks I felt were really well-rounded. So this is Praise the Lord and Tony Tone by A$AP Rocky from his new album, Testing.
Get it? Text a message, I don't know the number. Flexing on these niggas, every bone and muscle. Steady taking shots, never hurting them. Even then, y'all don't worry nothing. And I like to give a shout out to my niggas with the game plan. And shout outs on my niggas with escape plans. 20 bands, rain dance. We can eat the rain check or we can make plans. Pockets loaded, rocket loaded, can't let's rock and roll this. Time to go, lock, stop, and two smoking barrels locked and loaded. Diamonds glowing, chop, climbing on them. We think I'm jumping out the window, how I got them open. Line around the corner, line them up the block and over. Sometimes I even stop the smoking when it's time to focus. My shade, Dior, my pants, velour. Create, explore, expand, concord.
I came, I saw, I came, I saw. I praise the Lord and break the law. I take what's mine and take some more. It rains, it pours, it rains, it pours. I came, I saw, I came, I saw. I praise the Lord and break the law. I take what's mine and take some more. It rains, it pours, it rains, it pours. Yeah, I sold the pack, the loose, the hard. Yeah. I listen to X, I beat the bars. Yeah. Snakes, the rats, the cats, the dogs, the games, a trap. Protect your heart, yeah. Awaited in line. Return, refine the new design. It's time to shine, to shine, to shine, to shine, to shine. I hustle, I flex, the world is mine. So please believe, allow the grease. These niggas, disease, don't speak, we squeeze. I make the devil go weak, the knees. You hate, you're lame, you're lost. I came, I saw, I came, I saw. I praise the Lord and break.
I just say what I really think. Like I'm too fresh, man, to be your underclassman. Would say suck my dick, but that's sexual harassment. Fuck around and really come through in the merch on ya. Who else you know design your stage and do your merch over? And if you're lame, do your verse over. I change the game like I'm Kurt Warner. I run the game like I'm Time Warner. This ain't no King Choice Awards, time slide on ya. And make it home for mama's side roasting. And lean, and beans, tomatoes, Mercedes, and keys, and grams, just me, and yams.
And CB, rest in peace, picking up the last color greens, dressed up by the beat. Now we selling out the Coliseum for the dynasty. Tell them boys who got
Espinard, Eleanor, Drew Ham, nigga going to him, AK, Jackie Rob, East 1199, Linux Ave, D-Long, Eastside, Wingstone, Stone Stone, when I'm in my zoney zone, smoking on the homegrown, feeling like I'm all alone, used to go to King's Own, rock the park with Tony Tone, listening right. to Bone Bone, feelings in my bone bone, I can tell it, I can tell the fuck about a list,
That's Praise the Lord and Tony Tone from A$AP Rocky's new album, Testing. A bit underwhelming for me, but if you're rocking with it, do so. Because A$AP is, I mean, he is dope, so I'm not going to refute that. If you're bumping this album, more power to you. But it's time now to follow up on the Drake and Pusha T beef. I know this is the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, but it's starting to feel like the Pusha T Enthusiast Podcast. He's everywhere right now, which is great for him, great for his brand, and he should be recognized as one of the greats. So it's cool that he's getting there. Slowly but surely, he's going to get there. But last week, we got the diss tracks. We got W Freestyle by Drake. We got Story of Adidon, The Response by Pusha T, and we thought there was more. Of course, how could Drake not respond after all those allegations Pusha T threw his way? And then also Push insinuated by saying, Surgical Summer Volume 1, that insinuates there's more than one. But it looks like it's going to stop here. Executives on both sides have come in to squash the beef. Kanye tweeted out that he talked to Push, it's over. He never wanted it to happen in the first place, on and on. You produced the album where the shots originally came from, so I don't know if you can really make that claim that you never wanted it to happen. But either way, he's not in the business of beefing, and he's done with it. So he asked Push to stop. And then on the other side, we got Jay Prince, a legendary executive, been around the game forever, coming in and asked Drake to stop as well. Prince says that Drake had a career-ending song that he played for him that he was ready to release, but he made him shelf it because he felt like the beef was turning the wrong way. And people have commented that they felt Push's response and his track Story of Adidon was too personal, too intense for a simple rap beef. People felt it should have been more industry-based. It should have been more about them as rappers and them as people. I don't know. It's hard to really establish a line there. Obviously, the best jabs, the best cuts are things people don't know about you. So obviously, personal stuff. And that makes it tough to know if there is a line. Should there be a line? I don't think so. I think everything's fair game. If you're going to go at somebody, they're allowed to use every ammunition coming back at you. But in the bigger picture of things, I do understand that there can be real life repercussions to this. Some people felt it was heading that way. Jay Prince hinted that he felt that it was headed and had some similarities to the Tupac Biggie beef. We all know what happened there, and nobody wants that ending, of course. And it's ironic because some people were defending Push's song by saying, how can you get too personal? Like, you never would have said that in the past. And their big example was like Tupac on some of his diss tracks made fun of members of Mobb Deep, especially Prodigy, who had sickle cell disease, like a lethal disease that he actually ended up dying from last year. And he was making fun of him for that. And they were like, you didn't knock Pac when he did that. And they were trying to call people out as hypocrites. But it's like, listen, like that's a horrible argument. You're saying that that's a proof for it to be all right. Like Pac, he didn't get killed for that line specifically. But the idea of really personal beef and like real life repercussions came into that rivalry and ended up with two of the greatest rappers in the history of hip-hop dead. So, like, that's not really a good reason to be like, look, Pac did it. Like, that's why we would not do these things now. Like, he's gone for a reason. Like, because shit got too far, too deep. So from executive standpoints who have seen things boil over and go too far, I understand why people came in and shut it down. Selfishly, as a rap fan who would, like, it's hard for us to really understand these things because it's like we're never going to face the backlash of it. Like, we never have to walk around with the shame of some of these things that happen in diss tracks. We just enjoy it. We're like, yo, he roasted him, and then it doesn't matter anymore, right? But for them, it can have lifelong effects. It can affect your career. In the rarest of circumstances, obviously, it can end up with you losing your life. So I understand why it was squashed. But selfishly, as a fan, I love diss tracks. I love when guys are going at it. I think it's good for competition. Like what Kendrick Lamar did on Control, he like reignited competition in the rap game, and it was awesome. It was the center of attention, and everyone felt like they had to up their game and catch Kendrick Lamar. And I think that has forced guys to make better music over the years. So I love the aspect of competition, but I also respect why these guys stepped in and settled it. Also, though, coincidentally, we had a hilarious slip-up from Good Music. So Kanye West obviously dropped his new album, Ye, on Friday. Features a song titled Yikes. And Drake apparently wrote the hook. And it's like no knowledge that Drake wrote the hook for Kanye on Yikes. Didn't perform it. He just wrote it for him. And they did not give him a credit. Accidentally forgot to credit Drake with a writing credit on Ye's album. Isn't that ironic? Pusha T's original beef with Drake, well, not his original beef, but the original lines that sparked this whole feud was him calling out Drake for not writing his own lyrics, not having integrity in the rap game, not writing his own songs. And meanwhile, Drake wrote the chorus for a song produced by your like leader, Kanye West, the guy who produced your album. Not a good look. Not a good look for Good Music. I really felt like Pusha T won this thing, but that last remark, like, that's kind of how the feud ends. Everything's settled now. We're not going to hear any more disses. And the last move was, like, Good Music really messing this up. Like, not giving him a writing credit and, like, having to deal with the hypocrisy of making fun of him for not writing and then he's on your album. It's uncomfortable and it's a bad taste in your mouth for Good Music. So Pusha T wins. I stated that on the last episode, but Drake didn't go out without some shots, without some points made. So that's where we stand. Pusha T, Drake. Would have been cool to play the new diss track for Song of the Week, but we didn't get it, so we're going to move on. We're going to end up talking about a little Mac Miller. The kid is back. He dropped 3 singles, Problem, Small World, Buttons. All fairly different. I like when artists do that. If they're going to drop like a group of singles, you don't have to make them cohesive. They're singles, so just give us a little bit of everything. That's what Mac did. And they're all nice. The track Problems is Mac's take on like a modern day slapper. He tries to get high energy on it. He's got a lot of up-tempo, hard-hitting production. And it's a success. It's fun. Mac is definitely not like bending or even coming close to breaking, you know, his style. He's still doing it in his way. It kind of reminded me of some tracks that J. Cole worked on to KOD in that sense. Small World might be the most Mac song of the three. He's kind of that embracing that like lazy, casual, like hippie vibe that he's got going on. Like his singing is like obviously like an intentionally flat, but that's just like the feel he's going for, like super casual, laid back. And he just kind of dropping these clever lines left and right, just really just chilling, cooling out and having fun. Very Mac Miller type track. But my favorite of the three and the song of the week for this week is Buttons. Definitely had my favorite instrumental. You get like these very somber piano keys and then Mac jumps on top of it with like these layered echoing vocals and this like slowed down flow. It does kind of have a strange dynamic with the instrumental being kind of sad and a little bit depressing, but the lyrics being more positive. It's like the instrumental, he's stuck in the sadness, but the lyrics, he's overcome it. But it is really sweet, and it, to me, it feels like a song that he made like after he locked himself in his house for a week, hadn't spoken to anybody, and he's just like looking out this like rainy window pane. Like, that's just what I imagined when I first heard the song, and still that's just how I feel like the track was made. No one can tell me it's not. You can say he was surrounded by all his boys making it at the studio. I'd be like, nah, you're wrong. Like, you show me photo evidence. I'm like, nah, it's not what happened. And I'm a big fan of when songs kind of, like, give you that imagery without even intentionally doing so. Just permanently give you, like, this zone that it feels like the song came from. It's pretty powerful, and it's just a nice song to zone out to. So this is your song of the week, Buttons by Mac Miller.
There's no answer and you called twice. Nobody be at my house. I was at the studio all night. Last night I slept on the couch. I might wake up and do it all again. There's a world going crazy outside, but let's pretend that it's alright. We keep pretending that it's alright.
Yeah, alright. Days get mixed up, schedules get switched up. Can't be two places at once. So I take a hit of the spliff that I lit up and forget I had to be anywhere at all. Goddamn, how the mighty will fall. They wanna see me gone, but I'm here in spite of it all. I never play alone. You can keep the fair self-pity. I'd rather tell you who I am, really. This is not the wake-up call. I am no hotel operator. I don't owe nobody favors. I don't know how the fuck I've been around so long. Busy as an escalator in a crowded mall. It's like every year I realize my house too small. Get paid, upgrade, two cribs, new maids, more flights, few planes, live out my suitcase. Lose days like loose change. I swear my life is on Blu-ray. Welcome to doomsday. The world needs a hero and I am your Bruce Wayne. Kind of like Luke Cage. Well, you keep on running, we keep on pushing your buttons.
There's no answer in your call twice. Nobody be at my house. I was at the studio all night. Last night I slept on the couch. I might wake up and do it all again. There's a world going crazy outside, but let's pretend that it's alright. We keep pretending that it's alright.
That's your song of the week, Buttons by Mac Miller. I've definitely been enjoying that track this week, so figured I'd share it with you guys. And I know there's a lot of Mac Miller fans out there. I'll admit, I was never really on that train. Like, growing up, when he got big, he was never one of my guys, but I have kind of grown to like his music, and I like these singles, so hopefully it means more good music out of Mac moving forward. So we'll close up here with some new music announcements. Obviously, Yeezy season is continuing. So this coming Friday, June 8th, we have Kids See Ghosts by Kanye West and Kid Cudi. And they actually did a song together on Kanye's solo album, Ye, which dropped last week. We'll be talking about that next week on the podcast. And their track, Ghost Town, they did together was my favorite song on there. So if it's anything like that, if they were in the same zone, this could be a really nice album that I might dangerously like. And then also on June 8th, we're getting Ethernet by Wi-Fi's Funeral. That was pushed back. It was supposed to come out 2 weeks ago, and it's now scheduled to come out this week. Hopefully it does so. There were some clearances of samples, I believe, holding it up. So hopefully they've smoothed that over, gotten the business side of things taken care of so it can be officially released. And then we're also getting Think Free by Freeway. The following week, June 15th, we are getting an untitled album by Nas. I'm not going to lie, I am worried that it's not going to come out. Kanye put together an aggressive timeline, dropping all these albums back-to-back-to-back weeks. And so far, he has come through. I mean, Daytona obviously came out on time. Ye came out on time. We'll see what happens this week with Kids See Ghosts. He does now have my confidence that stuff's going to drop, but Nas, I'm a little worried about because he's been promising us albums for a long time, and they haven't come to fruition. Hopefully, this one does. Also on June 15th, we are getting Redemption by J-Rock, a Top Dog member. I would definitely expect to hear guys like Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, maybe a little Absol, Isaiah Rashad, guys like that. Heavily featured on the album, Top Dog definitely likes to stick together, and especially on J-Rock albums. That should be great. He's one of the better gangster rappers of this era. We'll see if he changed up his sound, which he kind of has hinted at doing so. Hopefully he sticks with his old stuff. I guess we'll find out June 15th. That's the music that is confirmed to be coming out in the next couple weeks. I'm sure more will be announced, and we'll have that for you next week. As always, we're constantly updating it. You know the deal now on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. That's all we got for today. Thanks for listening. Tell all your friends. It's the easiest way to keep up with hip hop in 2018. We got the reviews. We got the singles. We got it all. We got it on lock, the cultural news. So go subscribe on Apple Podcasts, download some episodes, follow me on Instagram. And we'll enjoy this great era of hip-hop we're currently living in together. So that's all we got. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.